Hello, my friend. Jeff C. here with a great new resource that I put together just for you. It's a complete database of all the tools that I use to create content and run my business. I've got apps, software, hardware, and even my favorite AI tools. It's easy to find what you need and tells you exactly how I'm using them in my business. To get access to my toolbox, just go to jeffc.com/toolbox. That's J-E-F-F. S is in Sam, I-E-H. That's I before E, especially in C. That's how my mama had me learn it. So go check it out. And if you haven't heard me say it in a while, I appreciate you listening, my friend. And now, on with the episode.
I think, Jeff, the nervousness is actually good. Like I interview people all the time, and they're like, oh, I'm so nervous. And I'm like, awesome. Like, embrace that. Yeah. That will make you better. It'll make you sharper. You'll be more in focus and you'll be more on point. Right. I always find when I get too, listen, I was nervous before I joined you guys this morning. Yeah. Like I get nervous on Saturday mornings when I join Dave Jackson. We've done that 500 times or whatever.
Right.
But you embrace that nervousness and say, you know what? It's a little bit like imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Embrace it, let it make you sharper, but lean into it, right? Yeah. Lean into it and use it to your advantage.
Keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C. And you're not.
And I'm Connor Brown, and this is the show that keeps you up to date on what's happening in the world of social media and more.
You ever caught yourself wondering what it takes to excel in the world of podcasting? Maybe you're curious about the strategies behind creating a podcast that captivates and engages. Or maybe you're just interested in transforming your strengths into a podcast that stands out. Now, if those thoughts have crossed your mind, then today's episode is tailor-made for you. We're excited to host a guest who embodies the essence of successful podcasting. Jim Collison is an expert in leveraging personal strengths and technology to produce a top-notch podcast, and he's here with us today. Jim's going to share what he's learned, his approach to podcasting, and his advice for those looking to make their mark in this dynamic field. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Jim, thank you so much once again for joining us today.
Jeff, great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
We are so excited to have Jim. If you don't know who Jim is, you should. Jim is known for hosting various podcasts related to technology, community building, and personal development. He's the host of the Gallup Called to Coach podcast, Theme Thursday, and the Clifton Strengths podcast. These podcasts focus on strength-based development and coaching using Gallup's Clifton Strengths Assessment, which I have taken before. Jim is also involved in the Home Gadget Geeks podcast, where he discusses various technology-related topics, including gadgets, home automation, and other tech trends. Additionally, he co-hosts Ask the Podcast Coach with Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. Jim, thanks again for being with us here today.
Connor, that makes me sound like I'm super busy.
You are.
Fuck. Who lets that a lot guy of podcasts. Do all that stuff?
I know. So, and in fact, we have a great comment from LinkedIn. Jim is one of the great podcasters that has totally inspired my style. Thank you for that comment. It's going to be an amazing show. But before we get started, I want to do a big shout out to our folks who sponsored the show, Ecamm. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. You can save 15% on your first purchase if you use the code Jeff15. So make sure you check them out. Also, what's happening is this amazing leap into tools and tactics. I'm going to be speaking there. It's going to be happening in the end of this month, actually in a week or so. It's actually April 24th to the 26th. You're going to learn my favorite tips for content creation. A lot of great speakers are going to be there, not just me. So make sure that you go to leap.ecamm.com and check out all the great speakers. Sign up. It's going to be an amazing thing. So check them out at leap.ecamm.com. And with that, let's jump into the show today. We're just going to kick it off right away about, you know, becoming a pro podcaster. And because he's so involved in Clifton Strengths, we're going to talk about the podcast, you know, what it takes to lean into your strengths as a podcaster. So, Jim, how do you recommend podcasters do identify their strengths and then apply them to the podcasting process?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly at Gallup, we have the Clifton Strengths tool. That's an easy way to do it. It's a $25, $60 assessment that you can take. It'll give you these themes, Mine happened to be arranger, woo, maximizer, communication, activator. All those words, there's 34 of those. They all mean something. They have these terms. They're not magic in themselves. We've spent a bunch of time with a bunch of science, a bunch of testing to try to get that just as accurate as possible. The key to it, though, is once you have those terms, is what you do with them. You know, the self-reflection, the self-assessment, the taking this framework, like as an example with podcasting, there's one woo, and you might be wondering, what does woo mean, right? It stands for winning over others, right? It's a sales or influencing theme. It allows me, I like to be with people, but more than just being with people, I like to move people. I like to get them to go in different directions. I like to take groups of people and get them motivated to do things. It's a influencing, moving tool. Well, podcasting is a lot like that. Now, there are other skills required in podcasting. There's folks who do reviews better than I do. There's folks who do detailed content better than I do. There's people who are more artistic than I am, right? They make different styles of podcasts. Just about everything I do is kind of a host or interview based, where I get to interview experts. I'm not really an expert in anything, maybe podcasting, if you consider that. But I like to move people, right? I like to influence them and have them do things. And so I interview folks. I have podcasts that kind of do that. I don't do review shows. I don't do those things that require a lot of detail, because I'm not kind of a detail guy. You know, I don't have those things. So figuring some of those things out about who you are and what you do, I think anyone, any of those themes, any sets of strengths can be a great podcaster. The key is, can you identify them and then start working in areas where you know you're the best? Because that success brings enjoyment and satisfaction, and it keeps you going. You know, it keeps you moving. I've done 604 episodes of Home Gadget Geeks. I like doing it, right? It's 13 years in the making, and I really enjoy doing it. So, Jeff, I think to answer your question, you know, it's Clifton Strengths is a framework that allows us to quickly get to some of those topics, have conversations about them with other people. And maybe in the case of the two of you, if you had those, Connor said he knew he had his, you could have these conversations with each other and quickly begin to get into success topics without having kind of to define everything. You know, kind of the, like, oh, I'm an activator, which means I like to start and do things quickly. Right. Well, if you knew that, I wouldn't have to say very much. We could begin to have a conversation that may be productive.
That's awesome. Yeah. Those are the great points. One of the things, and I've taken this, but it's been years ago. I had actually, when I first started working at Social Media Examiner, doing a lot of their content creation, that was one of the things you had to do, is you had to take that, and I'd have to go back and look at it. I can't even remember. All I know is I was like the outlier from the rest of the organization. I was like the weirdo. But weirdos.
Those themes are all neutral. They identify weirdos or outliers.
They used it to identify me as a weirdo. But anyway, one of the things is, you know, you talked about learning for podcasting what you're good at. And one of the things I knew from the get-go is I didn't want the pressure on myself to do a show where it's just me talking, right? I wanted to bring in conversation, and I wanted to have Connor or a co-host there where we could bounce off of each other. One, because if you're producing a show, it's easier. Like when I cut to Connor, I can read ahead in the comments, all that kind of stuff. And that's just the way it evolved from what I considered my strength. So I think that's really, really great when you're trying to decide what type of show you want to do, is to like look at what you like to do and how you process things. So yeah. Connor, you had a question.
I also think it's super important to, like you mentioned it, talk to the people that you work with or on a podcast, your hosts, and understand what their strengths are. Like, you know, you brought up the fact that you're a woo. I had a boss who was a woo, and she explained very particularly, this is what it means, and this is how you can better work with me. So along those lines, Jim, you know, if you do have podcasters that are coming at this from a team perspective, right? Maybe they're bringing in a producer, or maybe they're bringing in a co-host like Jeff does with this. How can they work best together in a team and ensure that each team member's strength is used correctly to put out the best episode or show that they can?
Yeah, well, certainly understanding those themes, I think, is paramount. It's number one. You got to have some kind of now, many of them are pretty self-explanatory. You know, you think about, we have one called learner. Well, that makes sense. A person who likes the process of learning things, like, so they're constantly in learning mode. They like to consume the content, right? Others may require a little bit more. But as you think about two individuals, maybe like you or even a team, putting together a simple team grid, which just says, you know, I have the people on the left and the themes on the right, and what do we share and what don't we share, right?
Yeah.
But we don't want that to just be a conversation about differences and similarities. We want to really get to the success factors in that. I have, you know, I have this arranger talent that allows me to be a conductor or do in podcasting to do many things at once, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, or we know as humans, we're actually not very good multitaskers, but it allows me to have a lot of things happening at the same time and not get frustrated and keep track of most of it, right? I have an attention span that's short, but that kind of allows me to do a whole bunch of things at the same time. So knowing that in podcasting, you know, and Jeff, you're in that role right now, I can produce pretty well. Like I can mm-hmm. get in there and, well, knowing that, and then having maybe a partner who's more strategic, someone who is really good at taking the content somewhere, making sure the content stays on track, or making sure the content gets advertised properly. It gets shared in all the right places. It actually gets out there. Some of us are good at making the content, but not good at necessarily using it all, right? That's available. And so with a partner in a team grid, you can begin to have these conversations to say, here's some themes, here's some successes that we have in common, and then there's some things that we do differently. Now, usually this is where the differently causes a problem, because we struggle sometimes with people that are different than us or see things differently. But if you could begin to say, what's the strengths in our differences? Like, what do you do better? I'll use Dave Jackson as an example. Dave and I have been podcasting a long time together. There are definitely some things that Dave does better than me and some things I do better than Dave. We talk about them all the time. Those could be a point of contention in our relationship, but because we know them, have identified them, we talk about them, then all of a sudden it doesn't cause conflict. Conflict in team relationships often leads to sabotage or you know, you think, hey, we're doing this thing together. We both want to be successful. Well, when you have conflict, what we have found in our data at Gallup is that conflict will actually cause self-sabotage. One team member will sabotage something for the other. Well, that's not very productive, right? We're trying to avoid those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So Connor, the team grid concept, or just getting in a situation where you can see, hey, here's what I'm good at. Here's what I'm not good at. Here is what I need. Here is what you need. Just that, just those four boxes, you could spend maybe the rest of your time together as a team talking about those things.
Yeah.
That's great. Those are great things. Okay. By the way, so I had given, my daughter loves the personality and all this kind of stuff. And so I guess I had gave mine to her a long time ago. And she goes, by the way, Dad, your top five are ideation, belief, maximizer, responsibility, and adaptability. So
I like it.
But yeah, those are for a long time ago, because I think they kind of change over time, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I don't think you're locked in, but those are.
No, you're not. Yeah. You're not locked in. Now, who you are is pretty, like, you know, our brains stay the same, but there's some things that can change them. Trauma can change mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. Growth, you know, learning a new job. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know what? I'm better at that than I thought. Mm-hmm. That's self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Given the opportunity to lead for the first time, some folks are really good at it. Others are not, mm-hmm. right? Not everybody is a gifted or a great leader. Given that opportunity to do that. So yeah, there might be understandings that change. Is that even a word? Understandings? There may be things that change about you. Fundamentally, most of us stay, though, kind of the same most of our lives.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I probably need to go back and take the test again. And
Connor, do you remember yours? Do you remember any of your top five?
I you know what? I was just trying to rack my brain, but I'm going to pull it up as we're asking the next question.
And okay.
Yeah.
No. I have a great comment from Gary. He goes, when it comes to podcasting, I have a bass drum connected to my foot, a harmonica on my neck, and a guitar. I'm a one-man podcasting band. So a lot of people are that way. So I don't want to gloss. We talked about teams, but I also don't want to gloss over like strengths for these solo podcasters. So what advice do you have for solo podcasters in leveraging those strengths? You kind of talked about it a little bit, but the multiple aspects of podcasting, you know, content creation, marketing, repurposing, tech management, all that stuff. If you're doing it by yourself, like Gary is, you know, how do you kind of do that all together?
Yeah, I think an easy way to do it is create a list of all the things that you're currently doing with your podcast. So list out those steps and start at the very beginning. Okay, what am I doing for pre-show? How am I inviting guests? Or what kinds of things, how am I creating my content? Think about your show notes that you're putting together pre-show. Then think about the show itself. What am I doing? What's the content of that? How is that laid out? What do I want it to look like? Am I doing it in segments or is it live? Is it live and I'm editing it? Some of those kinds of things. And then think about all the post-show stuff that you have to do. Are we creating transcripts? What's it going to look like? Where it's going to post? List all of those things out and don't do a quick list. Really think about it. Or 1 week, just keep track of all the things that you do. As you're doing them, write that down, right? It can be that simple. Then grade yourself 1 to 5 on how good you are at it or how much you like it. And maybe you do 2 columns. Good at it, like it, right? 1 to 5. If a 5's the best, 1 is the worst. The 1s and 2s, you need to find somebody else to do them. Like figure out how do I get rid of these things? How do I automate them? How do I minimize them? You may just have to do them, to be honest. That may be something. But figure out how do I minimize the damage that I'm doing because I'm not good at this or I don't like it. I know when I don't like doing things, I put them off forever. Right. So you don't want to do that, right? And then the 3, 4s, and 5s, you start saying, okay, how can I do more of these things? Or how can I get better even at some of these? What kind of investments could I make to be a better, in my case, I'll use me as an example. I love to interview people. So how can I be a better interviewer? What can I do to set up myself so I ask great questions? How can I pay more attention to when someone's actually speaking so I make sure I have great follow-up questions, those kinds of things? I really like doing that. So I think, Jeff, that's a great exercise to kind of sit down, grade yourself on those things. Now, if you have like a Clifton Strengths assessment, if you have a tool there, you could bring those words in. We have 5. If you can buy the All 34 report to kind of see a full list of what you have, you can begin to assign some of those words, if you want to, those theme names, or even some of the talents behind them that you know you have. Like, no, I'm good at this. I'm good at interviewing. I'm going to add that word in there as I'm thinking about it. And then you can begin to start and do this slow. This isn't a weekend activity. This is a lifetime of discovery. Begin to spend some time thinking about how can I put myself in more situations where I'm able to do this? What can I do from a skill? Because there's still skill. We can still learn things, right? I can still learn to be a better interviewer. I can still learn to have better conversations. How can I sharpen that skill? That's going to come pretty fast because I like it. You know, I have discipline at the very bottom. Focus and discipline are at the very bottom of my Clifton Strengths. So listen, I'm not going to put myself in situations where I have to have heavy focus. And when I do, I really got to know, okay, I'm going to need a couple days off afterwards because I'm not good at it, right? It's going to really, really tax me. So I probably shouldn't do a podcast where I have to focus very long, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So one of the things that, you know, and we're big fans of Lou Mangiello, who's been, he's like Dave, he's been, and you, like podcasting forever. And one of the things, and I actually, we disagree on this, but it's just because of the style of the show that we do. Like he likes, and he mentioned this in his live show this week, that he likes to go into his interviews without any questions. Now, he researches a ton about the person. He has an idea where he wants to go. But for me, I have questions for each section, and I send those to my guest because in my situation, I found the people that I interview, they don't always read them. They don't have to read them. Most of the time, we don't always follow them. But it makes me feel better that I'm prepared. And it also, those people who are nervous about being on a show, it gives them somewhere to go. I mean, it gives them some like, oh, I can answer this. I can answer this. So it's okay to disagree with your heroes or the people that you want for your systems that work for you. So I thought that was something to tag into that, you know, when you maximize your strengths.
I think that's great. Jeff, I'm going to throw you a curveball, and I think we should go to Abby's question because it's really great. But before that, I will say I looked up my strengths. We've got input, connectedness, learner, achiever, and intellection. So I am
nice.
Smart.
Okay. Yeah, that intellection learner, Connor, for you, maybe interesting bringing. Jeff has that maximizer in there. So it's always, you know, maximizer is a quality or quantity component. And so, Jeff, you probably push, but now all of a sudden your repurposing starts to make sense to me, right?
Yeah,
that's a little bit of that maximizer in there of like, hey, we've got this content. How can we use it to its fullest extent? That's a... Mm-hmm. That's your maximizer speaking in there, and that's super cool. Now, all of a sudden, if I was coaching you on your podcasting and I knew that, boy, that gets me a whole bunch of miles ahead and some insight to you that allows me to have some advanced conversations with you. And we don't have to spend a whole bunch of time figuring that out. We go, your repurposing makes sense. So how do we continue to help you push that in a way? I'm sure you're pretty good at it, and I'm sure it's pretty successful. Mm-hmm. So, but you could, there's always things you could do better. Yeah. We could focus on that. You'd probably enjoy that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, so, right? and the thing is, it even, now that I'm thinking about it, it even goes back into my love for Ecamm, which we've talked about before. And, you know, how it came into sponsoring the show. And by the way, they're right there, ecamm.com/Jeff. Why I loved them is because when they went to being able to record individual streams of the video and the audio, it made my repurposing. It was like, I can do this so much quicker and easier. And so I see now why I was drawn to them and I love the company, because it fits into those strengths because of what I wanted to do. So I think that's kind of fascinating. Okay. You want to take Abby's question, Connor?
Yeah, okay. Let's do it. So Abby asks great one. She says, what about when you have your strengths listed in front of you, but you still suffer with major imposter syndrome? So you've gotten this back. This is, you know, what it's telling you, but you're still like, can't make that breakthrough of sorts.
Yeah, I love and hate imposter syndrome, to be honest. Like, I love the question, Abby. So thanks for bringing that in. I think it's super important. By the way, I think imposter syndrome is a universal problem for all of us. We all struggle with it. I don't know of anybody, even the most confident people in the world, behind the scenes, there's something that they're struggling with, right? In all the things that I've said about my podcasting and the work that I do and my influence and my interviewing of people, there are moments I have some real issues interviewing famous people. Like, I avoid it like the plague. That is not something I like to do. I like to interview the regular people in the world, you know, the average person in the world. That's kind of the average guy where that kind of came from. So I have some imposter syndrome because I don't feel like I belong there with those people. I got invited to a 25th anniversary party this week, and I sat in a room with a bunch of senior scientists, some PhDs and some folks that really are smart, and I'm not. And I was like, oh, like, I'm a little out of my league on this. And right. I'm like, no, you belong here. Trust me. You should be here with us. Right. But we all suffer from that. And I think the key is to embrace that for what it is. Why are we? So what is it about those fears that we have? Mm-hmm. Like, and I can identify that. I don't want to, oftentimes with famous people, you've got to compromise some of the questions because they feel like they're more important than everybody else. Right. And that attitude drives me crazy, right? It just, we're just all humans, right? We all put our pants on the same way. So, I have trouble with those egos, but I know at times I need to do it and I just need to buckle down. And that's where I'm going into an interview like that. So I just psych myself up, put some things aside and get it done. When I need to do it. So I think we all suffer from it. I think, Abby, the real question is to ask why. What is causing that doubt? And then face it head on. And I think that we can come back to our strengths and say, no, I'm good at these things and I'm going to do this, right? Mm-hmm. My daughter, whenever I say I can't do something, she says, well, not with that attitude, you can't, right? She says it to me all the time, right? And it's true. And I think imposter syndrome is one of those things we can actually embrace and say, you know what, there's a little bit of doubt there. I'm going to prove that that doubt is not true. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good accountability for us.
Yeah. You mentioned, and one of the things, and it's funny, everybody, you know, you talked about everybody has imposter syndromes. Well, one of the things is when I tell people when I speak or something, like every Friday before the show, I get nervous. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, it can be, you know, and the same thing, I feel the same way about famous people. I mean, I get some cool people on here, like Jay Bear was on a couple, you know, he's big time now. He's got this big tequila channel, but I get nervous every time. And every Friday I'm going, why do I do this? Why? You know, I suck. And, you know, and it's just, but you have to, you never grow unless you push through that hard stuff. You just never do. And
I think, Jeff, the nervousness is actually good. Like I interview people all the time and they're like, oh, I'm so nervous. And I'm like, awesome. Like embrace that. Yeah. That will make you better. It'll make you sharper. You'll be more in focus and you'll be more on point. Right. I always find when I get too, listen, I was nervous before I joined you guys this morning. Yeah. Like I get nervous before, I get nervous on Saturday mornings when I joined Dave Jackson. We've done that 500 times or whatever.
Right.
So, but you embrace that nervousness and say, you know what, it's a little bit like imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Embrace it, let it make you sharper, but lean into it, right? Yeah. Lean into it and use it to your advantage.
One of the, it's a cliche, but it's really true. It's like, you gotta be you be comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's the thing. You're like, be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's what I just have to embrace every Friday. I'm like, and then I'm done. I'm like you, like after focusing and buttons to press, I'm wiped after Friday. I'm like, well, I'll see you later, you know, after the show.
Yeah. Connor, what about you? Do you, as you coming in, since we've shared our experiences, what's been your experience coming into this, to a show like this, or how do you perform, so to speak? I'm putting those in air quotes, but how do you perform?
Well, Jeff makes it easy with everything there. I just kind of show up and stuff. I love to perform. I love to put myself out there. And I also know that that is something that, you know, can paralyze people. That is one of the biggest fears out there. So understanding that, I've really grown in the aspect of knowing, hey, this is a gift that you have, actually liking to do this when so many other people hate to do it. So I embrace it as much as possible and try to do it as much as I can to hone that craft further. And I've also come to the realization that nervousness and excitedness are the same exact thing. It's the butterflies are exactly the same in your stomach, just how you perceive it. So with, yes, you're obviously nervous and things like that, but at the end of the day, why are you nervous? You're really more likely you're excited to do whatever it is that you want to do that's making you have those feelings.
I think there's actually a point there too, of when your guest or whatever says, hey, I'm nervous, and I say, you know what, I am too. Yeah. I say that, all of a sudden we have this moment together where they're like, oh, I thought, and they almost always say this, I thought you know, you've done this 1,000 times. I thought you would. And I'm like, no, this nervousness is actually good. And so we share this moment together,
right?
And then we don't talk about it again, and they do fantastic. And so I really do think it's a good thing to share with people as you're going into this, to say, yeah, no one, I'm still nervous. And listen, there may be some of you who are not nervous and you do a great job. You don't have to be,
right?
It's just, I know many of you are. And so if you are, that's a technique that I've used to kind of get through that.
Interesting. I want to pull up this quote really quick from over on LinkedIn from Justin. He goes, yes, quite often people are surprised when I tell them, yes, I am nervous at the start of a training course delivery on communications. For example, nerves are normal is the message. We can deploy techniques to help us manage them. So that's a great point, Justin. Thank you for sharing that. So yeah, Connor, you had another question I saw?
I don't think I do, but
okay. I'll take it then.
Can I come back around to one more thing about questions? So you were talking about preparation, and Jeff, you provided some questions for me.
Right.
I've done shows like this where I haven't gotten any, and that's okay either way. But having some preformed questions also good. If you get in a spot, and I think I'm really good at asking questions, but every once in a while, when I'm trying to do all the things at once,
right.
The guest stops talking. And I have not put a question in my head to ask next.
Yeah.
And it's really nice to have a fallback question at that point.
Yeah.
So that's where preparation kind of helps in this, is, you know, you've got something you can quickly go back to, you know, look at it real fast and then ask the question. So there are some benefits to being prepared in that way, you know, depending on how you're doing your show, right?
Yeah.
But there are some benefits to having written it out.
Yeah. And also I build in stuff like I go to Connor, I cut to Connor or something to have, give me some spots to read the questions or read the comments and bring those up on the screen. One of the questions, since we're kind of wrapping up this whole kind of maximizing your strengths in a podcast section. So as a podcaster, how can you continually develop those strengths to continue to be engaging and relevant and, you know, serve your audience? What is the best way to do that?
Yeah, I think by looking at your strengths and saying, okay, how do I learn best? How do I grow best? What are some situations where I know I've done some things and I've grown in the past? And then, you know, again, look at those themes and say, okay, what kind of growth strategy can I put forward that will help me just get better at my craft? I can really only speak for me in this because I think these are individual questions for folks that they kind of need to work through. But for me, I do best by doing. So how did I get better at podcasting? Well, I've done 3,000 or 4,000 of them, in the last 13 years. I go to conferences and I listen to other people and I listen to other podcast gurus and stuff, but I'm really best by focusing on the actual doing of it for me. And so I just, the answer for me is to do more. I've got to be honest with the two of you, Jeff, throw everybody back on the screen here for a second. Your method of making me in the individual spotlight, this is some behind the scenes stuff, is actually a huge disadvantage for me because I am a reader of faces.
Right, right.
When I'm interviewing people and I'm talking to them, I'm watching their body language to know, am I on point or am I off point? Mm-hmm. And when you flip to me, I lose all context.
I usually warn people, but I didn't for you because you've done it.
No, you're fine. I think it's a good learning point. I didn't realize it until as we started getting into this, my brain was like, get back on the screen. How do I get these guys back on the screen?
Right.
I need to see their faces. I need to see them smile. Yeah. I need to see them making a point. Mm-hmm. That actually energizes me. And I know that, but again, because I learned by doing, bringing this back to this point, I just kind of realized you're putting me in a disadvantage. Now, not in a bad way.
So, and the reason I do this,
when I see you guys.
Yeah. So I do it because of pattern interrupt, because when I switch to the different things and getting those, because when people are scrolling by the feed, I want them to stop. And so, but it's a good point. Like I should really ask. And I usually do. I usually warn people like, hey, I'm going to put you on full screen. We're still here. Because some people are like, did I lose the connection? They freak out. But.
Well, and I don't know if I would have realized it until we went through this. I was.
Right.
Yeah, I know that. I kind of know that about myself. I won't let anybody just call me. I now say we got to do video. We can now. Everybody can do video. So most people. So I don't do just phone calls. I know I am best when I can see your reactions. I know I'm hitting a point when eyes brighten or people smile, right? That's important to me. Even at the beginning of the show, if you would have said to me, hey, I flip around, I'd have been like, okay, that's cool. Cause I can do anything. But it was just in the moment I realized like, oh my God,
you're isolated.
Killing me.
Yeah. Well, the other reason I do it is because I always want to make this about the guest, and it allows me to bring up the lower third in an easy way. So it's spotlighting you. And if you notice, I'm always doing this, like I'm always switching around because I want people to, you know, stay engaged.
No, so, I love it. So. I love it. It was just a thing I discovered. I mean, it's funny. I discovered that while you were asking me a question about learning.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so true. Yeah. I just learned this about myself in real time. So
when Jeff is really thinking, he strokes his beard a lot, and that makes most guests very uncomfortable. We've been told.
Well, it's better than doing this or something, you know.
I do that too. I kind of, thinking about things. Well, those visual clues are important, right? In this interviewing space that we're doing, maybe not if you're doing a highly produced podcast where, you know, think of like a DIY or how to do something or some of those kinds of things. But in the interviewing space, the body language is very, very, very important. And I just realized how much I depend on it.
Yeah.
Well, I love that because that kind of brings us into our next topic we want to talk about, especially, you know, podcast originally starting as an audio only medium. Nowadays, it's when you start a podcast, it's almost always video first, or you're having some sort of video component. And Jim, you know, some of your shows are live, they have a video component. What you were just talking about, how important is it to you, or just in general, for a podcast to have a video component today?
Well, I think it depends, like every answer, but and you kind of have to think through how your listeners want to consume it. I think, and Jeff, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I fall in Jeff's camp on this, is that if I'm going to create audio, I might as well create video. I need the video component anyways, because I need to see my guest. So I need that. Well, if I can do it in a way that then I can repurpose that for other things. And yeah, I would consider putting it on YouTube as a podcast, as a repurposing of that in its entirety. And I don't do as much as Jeff, as you do, to repurpose your stuff. But I do think I'm going to get it anyway. And so I might as well use it. For some podcasters, that may be a real hangup. You know, the video component of things, they may not be comfortable with it. They may not want their image out there.
Right.
They may not. It's extra time and it's extra hard. I mean, editing video is hard. Audio, once you figure out it's just math, you know, audio is a piece of cake.
Right.
Like, it's just waveforms. You can do some crazy things with audio and it still sounds good. You can't do crazy things with video. Right. You get a shot at it or you don't. Now, AI may fix this for us. We may be able to, I think in the future with video blending and AI being able to change what our lips are doing,
right.
smooth out the jump cuts, that may, in the future, that may get easier. But today, video editing, I think, is still pretty hard. So what I say, Connor, what I say it's important, I would say it is if it is important to you. Yeah. And if you want to use it, do it. If you don't, you don't have to. You know, right. you can totally ignore that. Are you missing possible viewers on YouTube? Yes. Right. Yes, you are. How many depends on what you do. I mean, listen, there's some dumb stuff on YouTube that gets giant numbers. And I'm like, why? Right. Why? I make good content that doesn't get those numbers. And, you know, this other stuff does. Who knows? All I know is I can't control any of those things.
Right.
So I would say, based it on what you want to do. If you want to provide it, do it. If you don't.
Yeah. So somebody who I really look up to in their video editing skills is Chris Stone. He goes, video, what is this video you speak of? He's amazing. If you watch any of his stuff that he repurposed, he also said a great, honest conversation. We all go through these struggles. It takes reps. And, for sure. And Megan Power says, I'm the same way. I don't understand how people can record podcasts on audio only. And so I have done it for Kristen. I'm going to say it. Since Google Plus. That,
yeah, me too.
I just because I was lazy. I'm like, why not have everything and put it out everywhere? I think it's easier if you're just getting started at podcasting and you're wanting to do video podcasts. Most guests now, one of the side effects of COVID is that most people if they did any sort of calls they had or work from home, they had a setup. And they're more comfortable being on a Zoom call. And this is just an elevated Zoom call pretty much with better tech. So I think more people are able to do it that way. On this podcasting tech, Jim, I wanted to ask you, especially because this is kind of your home gadget geeks kind of hat on, like, where do you go to find out about new gadgets and tech trends that you put on your Home Gadget Geeks podcast? It's a great show. It's really, I really enjoy it because, I mean, I'm into that home automation and all the kind of other stuff you guys talk about on there. But where do you go? Is it just something you consume daily that you say, hey, I'm going to do a show about? Like, how do you find out stuff you're going to discuss on Home Gadget Geeks?
That's a good question, Jeff. I'm not sure I've thought around the methodology of that. I have a great group of listeners who have been with me for 15 years. I've met many of them in person. We used to do meetups before the pandemic. We'd do meetups all the time and I'd meet them. They give me suggestions. So they'll say, hey, can you talk about this? Can you talk about that? Or I'll just find interesting people that are in the tech space and I'll just interview them. And if they're, I think of, I have a gal from Canada, Erin Lawrence, joins me. And she, that's her job. And so she, you know, she's constantly reviewing things. And so I have her on once a quarter and she's always got stuff from her site that she's reviewed. It's a great partnership. I get to highlight the things she's doing and she is great content for me. I've gone industry, you know, I've interviewed industry folks, Jamie Siminoff from Ring, the CEO of Ring. I got a chance to interview him before Amazon bought his stuff.
Oh, wow.
So Ring had just come off of, actually, and I didn't know this, Ring had just come off of Shark Tank, and they said no to Shark Tank at the time. Now, this is one of those areas I didn't do any of that research. I just knew he was the CEO of Ring. Mm-hmm. I knew Ring was cool. So I asked him and he said, yes, there's another, you know, principle in that. You'll never get a guest you never ask.
Yep.
So that's a principle. Yeah, you'll never get a chance to talk to him if you don't ask him. So, and they can always say no, you know, right. And that's okay too. So it's a kind of a combination of things. And I've had various co-hosts on the show at various times. Christian Johnson started with me. Andrew Morris was there. We kicked back. Mike Wieger was a co-host of mine for a while. He's done. I'm solo now, but I rarely do a solo show. I almost always have a guest.
Right.
And so it's just, I kind of let the universe provide on that one, right? Home Gadget Geeks is fun. I just do it for fun. Right.
Yeah, and you can tell. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're just goofing around. It's my Thursday night tech connection. It actually started because when I started at Gallup 17 years ago, I was a tech manager and I'd been a software developer before. I was a database developer and I stopped doing tech and I was missing it. And so I kind of started Home Gadget Geeks to talk about some of this tech stuff that I was missing at work. And that just kind of kept me, it just kind of went on from there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Something that you're passionate about, which is really, really cool. And I know, you know,
more fun than passion, just to be honest. It's for me, it's just more fun. I enjoy the topic and the conversation. I find other people who are super passionate. Like Aaron does the best reviews I've ever seen. And I'm not a review guy. Talk about knowing your strengths. I've tried reviews. I suck at reviews. I am terrible at reviews. Jim, stop doing reviews, right? And so I found her. She's great at reviews. Let's just maximize her strengths, right? And not have me try to do them.
So for something like Home Gadget Geeks, which you say is for fun and you love doing it because it is fun, how many hours a month do you devote to it? Whether it's, you know, the research, getting guests, right, inviting them on, testing, recording, all that sort of stuff. Because for a lot of us here, our podcast is something that we do for fun as well. You just happen to also do podcasts professionally, but then you have this thing that you do for fun.
Yeah. And podcasting is only, at work at Gallup, podcasting is probably 30% of the job. So it's not all of it. I have community management responsibilities and client support and some other things that I help manage in the organization. But, you know, okay, if you ask me for a number, I'm going to say 12 hours a month I spend on Home Gadget Geek. So I do it. Let's just say I do four in a month. I do one every Thursday, and it's probably 3 hours of work, maybe four. If I'm really trying at that point, you know, you gotta find a guest, a little bit of communication around that, get that set up, you know, a little bit of a pre-call, the actual show, that's probably an hour and a half. It's probably like 2 hours. And then post-production's a good solid hour. I think I can do most of it and maybe an hour, hour and a half to get it all. I've streamlined it. I have Maximizer too, Jeff. Right. So I've streamlined it to get as much of it automated as possible. So. Yeah, 12 to 20, maybe.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that was a question. And this is another cool thing is when you're coming up with questions, I reached out to my community who I knew were podcasters and who knew how to do this. And that was a question from Gary Stockton. Like he said, hey, ask Jim this because, you know, how does he balance spending the time? So that's the other thing. Once again, Maximizer here. How can I get the questions, you know, that I could get easily? And I know these guys are passionate about it. So that's really, really cool. One of the questions, and this is a really strategic one from Megan Powers. Thanks for watching, Megan, over on YouTube. She says, I'm recording a show about community. I'm prepping right now. Anyone have questions or suggestions? Virtual hug. So I love what she's doing. She's crowdsourcing the comments and us. So what are some other ways, Jim, that you go when you're trying to get questions, especially for your Gallup thing? Because, I mean, that's a lot of podcasts. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on with all those three or four that you do. When you're coming up those questions, because you said you love to ask questions, do you crowdsource them in any way? Are they all internal ones? Are you going and looking at what people are asking in the community? How are you finding those questions?
Right. I'm going to invoke the cone of silence to all of us and the audience. This is a secret. You can't tell anybody at Gallup. This is what I do. Right. Because they think I work hard at this. So I'm going to give you a secret. Right.
Okay.
So actually, for when we have guests on, I try to find the person at Gallup who's closest to that work and say, because I don't know, like when we interview a client, I don't know that. I can't know all our clients. And so, I find the individual, the associate who is closest to them, and then say, hey, I invite them on the show. Then I encourage, we follow a case study format. So I like systems to do things. It's just easier to always have a system and then deviate from the system. So we use a case study format. What was the problem? How did you solve it? What were your results? What's the future? That's our case study format. 4 points, super easy. And then I say, give me 12 questions that between the two of you that you agree to, that's going to take us through this format, right?
Right.
12 is not, it can be more, it could be less, doesn't matter. It's just a number. People need a number. Otherwise they'll write endlessly or they won't write any. Right. So 12, right?
Yeah.
Right. I give them 12. And then right before the show, I just review the questions that they came up with, and I'll start the show, introduce the host, as I call it, the person who's closest to the customer. Mm-hmm. They have a great conversation. I just butt in. I get to be there. I get to be the one who, or if I see it going off the rails a little bit, I'll bring it back on. Or if there's a technical problem, I'm there to fix it. It's my job to really be the producer. I get to be a producer host for those kinds of things, which is super great. In the Clifton Strengths podcast, we actually outline the questions in the beginning of the season. And because it's theme related, we ask the same questions for each of the themes and roll through that content. Now, the trick on that is, how do you not get bored on asking the same questions 34 times, right? Wow. So it's my job to stylize, or that's probably not the right word. It's my job to ask the same question differently or in a different way or with a different inflection 34 times. That's a little bit more of a challenge.
Yeah, right? that would be.
I'm good at it, right? I'm good at that kind of same content, but making it sound a little bit different each time that we get to it.
So and some people probably like that, because you think about like John Lee Dumas at Entrepreneur on Fire, like he pretty much asks the same question in his format every day. I think he used to. I don't know if he continues to do this, but yeah, I think that's something that if you can do it well. Once again, if you're a maximizer, you're repurposing your questions, but asking it in a different way. Yeah.
Well, it was a way of doing something repetitive where we didn't have to think, if we'd had to come up with a different format. And I have done that in the past. It's just a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I had a very expensive resource that I needed to say, okay, I can't take up as much as your time. Let's come up with a similar format that we can just roll through 34 times. And that piece worked as well. When it's just me and a guest, I'll have a couple questions, but I always start with, tell me a little bit about yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get to know a little bit about you. And then I'll always have a why question. Why are we here today? And that you start down that path. And then here's the key. Here's the secret. You just listen.
Right.
Just actually listen to what they're saying. You'll have plenty of content to get it down. And so if you keep the why in mind, I think somebody wrote a book about that. If you keep the why in mind, and are interested in your guest, the rest will come. If you need questions, and you should write them. If you don't. Like, just go with what you're best at.
One of the things, and I think you and Dave have talked about this on the Saturday show, is that, you know, the listening part of podcasting. Because you can tell, and we've all seen them, and we've all probably been guests on them before, when you can tell the person is just waiting, they're not listening to you at all. They're just waiting to ask the next question on their list, right? They're just ready to, or they're ready to talk about themselves again. Like they always bring it back to themselves, which is also really annoying. So that, what you just said, I think is a big takeaway for people, is learn how to listen. Like, you know, yes, produce your show. Yes, pull up comments, but you got to listen or why do it?
Yeah. Well, you saw me. I tried to bring Connor back in when he said he had taken the top five. Yeah. I'm like, okay, like game on. Let's talk about this thing. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was great then, Jeff, when you got yours, I made sure I read what was there and I picked out that maximizer similar to me, easy to talk about at that point. Even as a guest, I'm trying to do some of those similar things to make sure I'm staying engaged and listening to what's going on, because I think it makes for a better guest. Like it's as important to me that I'm providing content and interesting things for your guests as just being here. And you're here, both of you are here anyways. So why wouldn't I pay attention
to those guys?
Right.
Yeah. It's hard not to pay attention to Jeff, of course. I mean, he's just.
Well, that beard is handsome.
You never know what's going to come out of the beard.
Handsome beard.
You pull stuff out
of it. It's funny because, you know, Jim, when you were talking about, hey, don't tell anyone at Gallup, this is how I get my questions, I just assumed you're going to go down the ChatGPT route, right? We've seen so much of that lately when it comes to tech trends and podcasts, right? Whether it's editing, whether it's content creation, it's a big deal right now. But what kind of emerging tech trends do you see really gaining significance in podcasting either right now or within the next couple of years?
Yeah, Connor, that's a great question. And don't get me wrong, I think ChatGPT has its place, and it has streamlined some things. It's made some stuff easier. It's a great summary tool. I actually think ChatGPT is underutilized in the area of translations right now. I think if we've got some great translation engines built, but we know their accuracy is terrible. Yeah. But if we first ran it through a translation engine, got it close, and then let ChatGPT clean it up, I think we're onto something there. And I don't know why that double run has not happened yet for folks. I just don't, I don't get it, because the translation stuff coming out is terrible. In moments, it's unreadable. And ChatGPT could absolutely, it's good at those kinds of things. Okay. So some of that, of course, in the area of art and art generation, I mentioned the area of video and video generation. I think some of those AI things of saying like, hey, I can take the image of a human and make it do things that look real. This is where we've always had problems in the past. That kind of stuff has not looked real, and if people freak out over it. I think those are for video editing. That's an area that is important. We are still in a spot. I mean, the internet has gotten pretty good everywhere. I'm going to say 10 years ago, still struggled in some countries. We also have podcasts in 9 different languages. So I deal with people all around the world, right? Yeah. On the work side of things. And there are still pockets of the world where the internet is not good. I think there's some areas in audio that are yet coming, or even live. You know, Connor, you were talking a few minutes ago, and it dropped a little bit on us, right? I think there's some areas where it wouldn't be that hard to reconstruct that.
Descript already does it. Descript already does that. Like when I have people
live and real.
Oh yeah, Jeff,
I mean, like right now, as that was happening. There's no reason. We have the processing power to do this, I think. Yeah. And so could we overlay that over live stuff? Yeah, maybe delayed 5 seconds, but on YouTube, it's delayed 25 seconds anyways.
Yeah, right.
So why wouldn't, you know, why? So some of those kinds of things, I think. I don't have a lot of good thoughts, Jeff, actually, in the future of podcasting. It's a pretty mature space. That may be an area I'm not the best on.
I think that the tools are coming that will make our jobs to produce the podcast easier. The skills to do a podcast are still, you know, they're established. You know, you've talked about the entire show, how to ask questions, how to listen. Those things won't change. Like, to make a good show, those things won't change. The time spent editing our show, I think, will get smaller and smaller and easier and easier. But the skill set to listen and to do a question, I think that's still going to be there for a long time. As we wrap up, this has been a fascinating show. Dave Jackson's actually commenting, going, hey, what was your aha moment? You know, and Dave's, if you don't watch the Saturday show with Jim and Dave, it's really, really great. Like, it's one of my things I do. I have my coffee Saturday morning. I watch the show. It's great people. A lot of our friends are in there. Gary and Chris are usually there as well. So make sure you check that out. Free plug for Dave, because he's such a good guy. But one of the last questions I want to ask, and I believe this is also from Gary, is how, with those three or four different podcasts you're doing inside of, you know, Gallup's kind of ecosystem, how do you keep your content fresh and engaging? Because you mentioned you have to take those same questions and kind of repurpose them. But I could see getting burnt out on, okay, we're talking about Clifton Strengths, you know, every day, all day, all these different things. How do you keep that fresh and engaging across all those different podcasting shows?
Yeah, it's not as hard as you think. and it goes back to a question or an answer I gave a few minutes ago, is that everyone's different and everyone's interesting and everyone has their own take and their own spin on things. And so if you are curious, you know, Ted Lasso made that famous, right? But if you're curious, the content is endless on this. I mean, it's just how you do 604 episodes. And Dave and I, by the way, askthepodcastcoach.com if you want to join us Saturday mornings, 9:30, just so we get that out. 9:30 Central. As long as you're interested in people or interested in your subject or interested in, you know, in what you're doing, I don't know if it ever gets old. I mean, people are just endlessly interesting. Mm-hmm. And so they have different stories and different things are happening to them. Even in my life's very different today than it was 10 years ago. So I'd give you different answers, even to the same right. questions.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even in 6 months, I might give you different answers to it. I think of Dave and I, you know, doing the show together for so long. He is the longest co-host, I think, that I have right now. Every Saturday morning, we look at each other and what are we going to talk about? And, you know, right? Yeah. It's, and he'll say to me, there's nothing new. And I said, Dave, it's all new. Yeah. Like we'll find some things. One, because we have a super engaged audience that joins us on Saturday mornings. Like right. the audience, the chat's a show within a show.
Yeah.
It itself really is a show. Right. Yeah. And then we can pull content from that. And there's always things happening, right? There's always things happening in the space. Just spend some time. I think the other key in that then is I genuinely like Dave as a person, as a human.
He's a good guy. Yeah.
He is a good friend. We have a great relationship. I find him very, very interesting. And so I get to spend an hour and a half with him every single week. We're just being friends.
Yeah.
At that point. And I'm sure you and Connor have a similar dynamic. You just like spending time together. And so we
not really, but as soon as we're done.
Sorry. I misjudged that one.
He's a good guy. We've had a good time on the show. Yeah. So very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I genuinely like Dave. So it makes it easier. And I think more interesting because we've got that relationship. I know where he's going to go on things. He knows where I'm going to go. I know when he's in trouble and I need to just keep talking. I know, you know, he's like, things are going on behind the scenes, whatever. So he's a genuine friend and it just makes it easier.
And you've also got those things for being it for long. Like I stole the, you know, time to get your nerd on. Chris Stone actually suggested that to me because there's even like, he's got a little sound bite that he plays like, oh, it's time to get Jim to get his nerd on
because to get my nerd
those,
on.
Yeah. So those things, once again, AI can't make up. You can't do those. Those are community based. Those are, you know, being together and the synergy you guys have together. So I think that's really important too. So well, Connor, reps, you have the last question.
You said it, reps.
Yeah.
Sorry, Connor, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say to kind of wrap it all up. Let's say there's someone out there that's just starting on their podcast journey. Over all of the podcasts that you've done, Jim, and all the advice that you've given, what's kind of the one thing, critical piece of advice you'd give to someone just starting out on their podcast journey?
Yeah, this is a hard one because it's so personal to people. Yeah. Well, one, I used to, when I was recruiting college students, I always say, I can guarantee you, if you don't apply for the job, you'll never get it. Right. You have to, that's the only guarantee in life. So you have to start, doing something. Mm-hmm. And I always say, if you can continue to have great self-awareness and gravitate towards those things that you are best at, that you can have success with immediately and that you really enjoy doing, it's hard to do the wrong thing at that point. It really is hard, but you got to do it. So if you're thinking about doing it and you're like, I should be doing this, well, give it a try. Get out there, do some things. Don't make it. I had an old friend of mine. It's one time we were creating an event and I said, so are we going to call it annual? And he goes, let's just do it once and see if we like it. Right.
Right.
And so there's some great advice to that. You can't get to 10 without doing one. Right? Yeah. And so do one. And if you like it, do two. And if you like it, still like it, do three. Mm-hmm. And then if you stop liking it, just stop.
Yeah.
Right. Just If at some point you're like, you know what, I'm done saying these things. I just don't want to talk about this anymore. Dave and I have that conversation pretty often on Saturday mornings. Like, are we ever going to get sick of saying the same things? We keep showing up on Saturday mornings and we show up for people. That's why we show up.
Yeah,
right? We show up for the chat room because we enjoy being with those people and it's a ton of fun. So you got to do it though.
Totally agree. We have got some great comments as we wrap up from our friends. Yeah, as Chris says, Ask the Podcast Coach is worth getting up for on Saturday morning. How long are you sleeping in, Chris Stone? Jeez. So, and then Jim Alt says, thanks for such a great guest and great show. Gary says, yes, big ups for today's show, guys. Great guest and great conversation. I totally agree. Jim, I'm going to do what you said not to do. I'm going to put you up full screen so you can tell everybody where you can, they can find you and all your podcasts and what you got going on.
Yeah. So if you want to find the Gallup stuff, just go to gallup.com/CliftonStrengths, all one word. If you want to see Home Gadget Geeks, you can find it there. What's below theaverageguy.tv. It is there. And of course, you can join us Saturday mornings, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, askthepodcastcoach.com/live if you want to join us live in the video.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. Great, great show today. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you, Gary, Jim. I forgot to do this last time. Connor, where can people find out more about you? Because you're amazing as well. Like, tell us all the things Connor Brown.
Thank you. Thank you. You can head to wdwopinion.com or follow me across the socials at wdwopinion. Awesome, awesome show today, fellas.
Yes. Thank you guys for great questions. And thank you for this community where I was able to go even before the show and said, hey, what do you want to ask Jim? Because he's going to be on the show. And you guys came up with some great stuff. So I appreciate all of you. We will see you guys next week. Have a great weekend. Bye, everybody.
Social Media News Live.